We have been speaking about the nature of the church, specifically the New Testament church, the first church. We read about this in the second chapter of Acts. And we've been doing this as a way to begin to understand or maybe to be reintroduced to what remnant life is. If you were not with us at the very beginning, if you've never heard me talk about how this church started, and I'll talk about that on the second when we get together just as kind of a refresher and to see where God has brought us. But it's not just about how we started as a physical church. How did we begin as a church within our hearts and within our minds? And we've been looking at what the Apostle Paul says that the church is and how that comes about into who we have become. And so we look first at the fact that the church is first the people of God. And the people of God is all of us. It began with the Hebrew people, with the Jews. And then because of Jesus Christ, we, the Gentiles or the non-Jews, which is anybody, the Gentiles have been grafted in to the line of Abraham, which means that in God, there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no man, there's no woman, there's no black, there's no white, there's no rich, there's no poor. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord or Savior, you are the people of God. And so we are here the people of God, regardless of our background, regardless of how long we've been going to church, regardless of how well you do or don't know what the Bible says, we're the people of God. Then last week, we talk about the second part. First, we're the people of God. Next, we're the body of Christ. The body of Christ. And this is a big one for me. Because if you've been to this church more than half a time, if you drove by, you probably have heard me say, the most important thing you can do as a Christian is live your life for Jesus Christ every single day. There is no value to the kingdom of God if you are to proclaim with your lips that you're a Christian, but you live totally different. It's the old thing. If you were to be arrested for being a Christian, would anybody have enough evidence that you would be convicted? Or would they say, I've never seen him act that way. I've never seen her act like a Christian. She doesn't talk like one. He's got a temper that's like a volcano. I don't know the Christians are supposed to act that way. But as the body of Christ, we are called every day to live as Christians. That's why reading your Bible is vitally important. You need to know what the Word of God says. But I'll tell you, it's the big brain pan of being a Christian that's of little value to the church if it's not being lived. Does that make sense? If you're a scholar of the Word, that's great, but how do you live? Are you egotistical because you know the Word so well? I've told people this many times. My greatest quality, Cheryl, is my humility. My greatest quality. It's what sets me apart from everyone. It's my humility. But there are people that live that way. Aren't there? You probably got some faces in your head. Some of the most gifted people I know have stood behind pulpits, and some of the most egotistical people I have ever known stood behind pulpits. And see, that's why it's important every single day that we give our lives to Him in humility, in whatever that means. I've showed you my coin that I carry around with me all the time. All the time. I have. I thought I lost it once. I nearly lost my mind. I don't want to lose this. Because the one size says, humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. That's the first part. Second side says, and those that walk in pride, He is able to humble. So I carry that with me all the time. I don't get it out and read it or show people, look how humble I am, I have this coin. But every time I touch it, it's just a little niggling in the back of my mind that goes, don't forget, anything that happens in your life that's of value, anything anybody tells you that's positive, it's because of me. It's because of Him in my life. So as the body of Christ, we recognize that the identification of the church tells us that the church is an extension of God's activity in the lives of men. That's who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be an extension of the activity of God. Once again, if you tell people God loves you, but you don't show them that love, you're not acting as the church should act. That's our role as Christians every day. You go, Pastor Dave, you don't know the people I know. You don't know that guy at work. I barely get the door closed and my coffee in my hand, and I can't stand being next to him already. That's the kind of guy. Yeah, love that person. Love that person. I didn't say run up and give them a big sloppy kiss and a hug. I didn't say go on vacation with them. Love them. Show them the love of God in whatever way that is. The term body of Christ is also used to describe the church worldwide. So we talk about the body of Christ worldwide and the body of Christ in the local church. So when we talk about the word church, it has to do with our gathering, but it also has to do with the church of the world. And see, the reason I'm telling you all of that is because I don't want you to get confused when you see the word church. What does it mean? It means many things. But in all of that, we are the physical representation of God on earth. And then the image of the body of Christ also emphasizes the connectivity of the church. And herein, again, lies the decision that we made 10 years ago when we started Remnant Life. What kind of a church are we going to be? I had been presented with an opportunity to be the pastor of an established church. It was actually the church that we were worshiping at. I was there as a volunteer, associate pastor. I did that for 5 years, I think, 4 or 5 years. I was working full-time, and then I was helping my brother, who was the pastor there. He actually married Katarina and me, but I was helping. I preached occasionally, and it was just God was allowing me to get back into ministry. He knew I was going to start this church, and I needed that training. I didn't know that. But at the end of my time there, the eldership approached me, a couple of the leaders, and they said, we would like for you to submit your vitae to be the pastor here. And I said, I'm honored. Thank you. What a blessing. It would have been, Dave, full court gym. I mean, they had just built a brand new gym. Satan was banging on me on that one. That was, I don't mean that, Roberta. He wasn't not Satan, but it was tempting. Roberta knows the church. But I knew that God had called Katarina and me to do something different. I knew that there was something else that we were supposed to do. I knew that we were supposed to be a non-denominational church. Now, again, not anti-denominational. I'm not against denominations, but I don't believe that was God's intent for the church. I don't believe that that's how the church had been created. But here is how the body of Christ is structured. And this is where I want to get into this morning just for a few minutes. And you see, it's so much simpler than what we've done in the church. People complicate things. How many of you have ever heard of the term death by committee? You ever heard that? Churches are good at that. Churches, we have so many committees, and we get an idea, and it's lost. We never find it again. And 2 years later, somebody goes, hey, weren't we going to do, well, yeah, it got stuck in the third subcommittee of the division of the church leadership anti-side of the, I don't know. I can't follow all of that. I've been a part of it, but I can't follow all of that. But see, the structure of the church according to the Word of God is very simple. And that's why at Remnant Life, we have tried to simplify things. We've wanted things just fairly easy because we want the focus to be on what's most important. Christ is the head of the church body. Christ is at the head. That can never change. That can never be removed. And part of the problem is that when churches become successful, and by successful, what am I actually saying? Come on. Well, how's a church successful in the eyes of everybody else? It's big. It's a big church. Must be successful. First question pastors always ask each other when they're passing each other, when they're at conferences. Hi, how you doing? Dave Dorado, Remnant Life Church. Oh, really? How many people you have coming? And I want to go, what difference does that make? Now, I understand that health is about growth. And that's what you read and what you hear at all of these places. If you're healthy, you're growing. My contention is growing is not confined to numerals. What I want to see growing is that in 10 years, Roxanne's life has changed because of the power and the presence of God. She's not the same woman she was 10 years ago. She has grown as a Christian. Now, we use the word grown and mature interchangeably. And that's okay. Maturity carries kind of a, I don't know, kind of a prickly feel to it, doesn't it? I'm trying to be more mature. Well, what does that mean? Well, I don't watch cartoons as much as I used to. That's not true. Yes, I do. But you know, mature and grow is pretty much the same thing. But I am much more interested, not that I have 200 people sitting in front of me. That means nothing to me. I think you know that by now. What I'm concerned about is, how is your walk with the Lord now as compared to what it was 6 months ago, a year, 5 years, 10 years? Are you walking differently with the Lord? See, that's the goal of this church. And that was the goal of the New Testament church in Paul's time, because Christ was the head. Paul writes about this. This is Colossians 1:18. He says, "And he," that's Christ Jesus, "is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy." And what that simply means is everything that takes place in this church is because of the supremacy of Christ. Always. So the music up here, and we're blessed. We have a kicking band here. We have a great group of musicians. We're still praying for a bass player to come in. Barry, do you play the bass by any chance? I'm just asking. One bass? Oh, okay. Well, not exactly what I'm talking about, but that's a nice answer, though. I hate Dave people when they're cleverer than I am. That bugs me. Don't come back next week. Well, we are so blessed with the music that we have at this church. I'm telling you, I've been singing and involved in music my entire life. I know good music when I hear it. So we're blessed. But that's not because of the musicians and the singers up here. It's because of the supremacy of Christ. That's why. If you are touched or God speaks to you through the words that I say, that's not me. It's the supremacy of Christ. And see, as long as we as a church family keep our eyes focused on Him as the head, Him as supreme in our church, God's going to bless what takes place here. You say, okay, Pastor Dave, don't tell me you're not thinking this. How come we don't have our own church building then? No idea. I don't know. We have worked hard to try to find a place. I have gone through 7 realtors in 10 years. All of them swearing, Pete, that they would find us a place in a couple of months. We'll have a church for you. The first time, I was fired up. The second time, I was kind of excited. The third time, yeah, whatever. I've heard this before. I don't know why we don't have our own church building. That's up to Him. See, when Christ is supreme in what you're doing, that kind of thing does not matter. Would I like to have our own building? Of course I would. Would I like to know we can just set up, have everything the way we want to have it, all those kinds of, well, of course, but you know what? That's not in God's plan yet. I pray it's this next year. I pray it happens. If it doesn't, we're going to keep worshiping. We're going to keep gathering. We're going to keep praising Him, because that's not what is most important. Amen. We have had the opportunity as a church to be flexible over our 10 years. And in the very beginning, Dave, Randy, and me, every single Sunday at the Park Inn, we would show up at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning, 7, right? With the truck loaded with all the equipment. We would then go into the room that we're supposed to be in, and according to the contract that I had with them, the room was supposed to be torn down and clean from the event the night before, wedding, party, whatever it was. They would have the chairs set up and everything, the tables, just like we had set this up on our contract. We would then come in, set up all of our equipment. The band would come in. The band was Dave in the beginning. I mean, it was like Dan Fogelberg. That's him right there. Dave was up there, the first one, just strumming away. We had a little riser platform up there. We got rid of that pretty soon. But let me tell you what also happened, more time than we can remember. We would show up at 7 o'clock. We'd walk into the room. It was still trashed from the night before. Nothing had been torn down. Floors were filthy. Smelled like the bar was still open. Chairs everywhere. Sharon appreciates this. You would never do that, would you? No. So we had to come in. We had to tear everything down that they had up, grab anybody we could find from the hotel. We had to vacuum the floors. Then we helped get the chair set up. Then we got our equipment set up. Then they would come in and practice, and we'd have church. Now, I had a choice when that happened. How many times have I told you have choices? Every Sunday. Yes, I do. I know. I had a choice. The first time that happened, I was more shocked than anything else, Dave, I think. I was just shocked. How could they do this? Now, I was a little worked up. We're paying money for you guys to have this ready for us. Now, of course, we got the room for free. Praise Jesus. Saved a little bit of money. That always was nice. But I realized very quickly that the middle name of this church was going to have to be Flexible. We had to be flexible. And God has given us many, 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 many opportunities to show that, to demonstrate that, to be flexible, and to be nice to the people at the hotel, and to be nice to wherever it is that we're being told you can't do this even though you're planning to because, and you just make the changes. We had a choice how we responded to next week. Well, you know how we're going to respond. We're going to be gracious. We're going to be loving. Why? Because Christ is supreme in this place. And see, that's what impacts everything that you do in your lives. So now take that and take it home with you. How do you act? How do you respond at home? It's going to be different if Christ is supreme. And if you find yourself in your home with things very different, conflict constantly, things going on that are just difficult, determine, where is Christ in your home? Maybe he is not supreme. You've got some other things set up there. You've got the things you like to do. You've got the things that are important to you rather than Christ. And see, in the New Testament church, and my prayer for us here at Remnant Life is that we will always have Christ supreme. Because when that happens, our focus is in the place that it should be. And then the second part of it is that within the body that Christ is supreme, we, the believers, are the individual members or parts. That's who we are. Individual, but of one body. And see, that's why your gifts, your talents, the things that you're able to do are all welcomed here. Your personality is welcomed here. Your strengths, your weaknesses, the things that just gripe you to death, they're welcomed here. They say, wait a minute, what do you mean? You want people coming in griping and complaining? No. Not because I don't want to hear it, but because God says, don't complain, don't grumble, be grateful. But see, that's why people here at this church, I want you to be who you are. I don't want you to conform how to I want you to act. I don't want you to do things or not do things because, well, Pastor Dave, this or that. No, what does the Word of God say? That's what we follow. So we are going to love each other. We are going to be grateful for one another. We're going to be patient. We're going to be forgiving. We're going to be kind because that's how you live as a child of God. When you are part of the body of Christ, you are demonstrating those things to the people around you. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians, and then I'm going to start to wrap this up. Again, this is Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. Wait a minute, where is it? There it is, Romans. Go to Romans and then go to 1 Corinthians next. This is some of the most powerful writing I think that Paul ever did, was to the church in Corinth. We have two letters to the church in Corinth. There is at least a third and possibly a fourth that we do not have. Paul references the third letter, but there's probably also a fourth one where he hammered them. I mean, he lowered the boom on them, Cheryl. They must have been doing something horrible because he came down on them like a ton of bricks, apparently. But we have two of the four books that he wrote. And in the 12th chapter, Paul writes about this. Start in the 12th verse. I want you to see this. I want to say a couple of things and then I'm done. You there? 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, the body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, that's us, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into the body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if an ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with us. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Whew. Now, I could preach on that for about 3 years and not even break a sweat. That is just incredible. Can you see, however, where we have strayed somewhat from that as a church? We've strayed from that because we don't accept every single part as being indispensable. It has to fit within a particular mold. Now, we have a certain way that we do things here, but we're flexible. I can remember at the Park Inn, our board, Will, that we had. It was a digital board. And we set it all up, turned it on, and I heard, poof. And then everything was dark. There was no sound. Something had blown, Dave. I don't know what it was, but it just, poof, and it was done. So Dave and I huddled for a minute, and we said, okay, we're going old school. You remember those of you that were there? He pulled, I think, a stool down, and he sat like sort of towards the middle, and he just played, and we sang the best we could. Randy ran out and made some copies of stuff so we could have words to look at. We had a great time. It was a great service. It was like the original church. There was no soundboard in Acts chapter 2. They did not have speakers from House of Bethlehem Sound. There wasn't any of that. Thank you, I just made that up. That was kind of right off the top of my head. You see, those are the things that we have not, we cannot allow them to take precedent over what's most important. What's most important is that we welcome one another, that we love one another right where we are. We pray for one another. We support, we love, and then we take this out of the church. We take this away from this building. I have shared with you many times, and it's still true today after 10 years, I am much less concerned about how you behave in this room on Sunday morning than I am about the other 6 days of the week. How are you behaving out there? What are you doing at work, in your home? What are you doing when you're out running around, when you're doing things? When nobody can see you that knows you, how are you acting? What are you doing? The Promise Keepers, how many of you men remember the Promise Keepers movement? McCarthy, Coach McCarthy out of Colorado. And one of the big things that they keyed on for men, and it's true for everyone, but especially for men, the definition of integrity is what you do when no one will see you do it. That's integrity. What am I going to do when no one's going to know? No one will know. I can take this. I can act that way. I can go in there. I can look at this. Nobody's going to know. But integrity, godly integrity, has you acting and behaving the right way. Okay, let me skip ahead here. All right, let me just finish with this. These notes are all online, so if you're concerned you missed something, go back and look. Paul emphasizes in this work that we just read in that particular chapter that there should be an absence of divisions among the church. Now again, I want you to hear me. I am not anti-denominational, but it's impossible for me to read what Paul writes and not wonder, how did we get to this point? How did we get to the place where I'm not going in that church? I'm not going over there. They don't do that. They sprinkle. They don't dunk when they baptize. They don't say the Nicene Creed every Sunday like they should. They sing songs with drums, Will. They have drums. That's not in the Bible. Actually, it is. You got to go into the Old Testament. But see, how did it come to that? And I cannot help but believe that even those that were responsible for that come under conviction. Let me just tell you this real quick story. How many of you know the name John Wesley? He and his brother, Charles. John is the founder of the Methodist Church. It says, later in his life, the founder of Methodism, John Wesley, changed his view about church division, and it was because of a dream that he had. And he believed very strongly that God had given him this dream. In the first part of the dream, Wesley said he was transported to the gates of hell. And he's standing there looking in. And he said, he called out and he said, are there any Presbyterians in there? And he heard this voice say, yes. He said, are there any Roman Catholics in there? The voice came, yes. Are there any Baptists or Congregationalists or any of those? And they heard the voice again, yes. And then he asked the question he didn't really want the answer to. He said, are there any Methodists in there? The answer was, yes. He said, then the second part of the dream, he was transported and he's standing at the gate of heaven. And he said, he called in and he asked the same questions. He said, are there any Presbyterians in there? And the answer came back, no. Any Roman Catholics? No. Baptists, Congregationalists? No. And he said, there have to be Methodists in there. He said, the answer came back, no, there are not. He said, then who is in heaven? Who is it that makes up the multitudes in heaven? He said, the voice came back, Christians do. Not Methodists, not Presbyterians, not Catholics, not Protestants, Christians, those that believe in Jesus Christ. And he said it was from that dream that Wesley determined that unity was the most essential thing to the structure, to the success, to the impact that the church was going to have. That was back in the 1700s. It's now 300 and some years later, and we're still divided. We still can't come to agreement. It's always been said, if you read John 3:16 and put 100 pastors in the room, you're going to get 100 different interpretations of that verse. It shouldn't be that way. We must live in unity. And that's what Paul was saying here, that we must live in unity, because every single part, every single piece of the puzzle, if you will, every single component of the body is important. We're all necessary. And that's why every person that walks into Remnant Life Church is going to be welcomed, accepted, and loved. Does that mean that we turn a blind eye to a lifestyle that is not according to the Word of God? No, we don't. There's right and there's wrong. There's sin and there's righteousness. But that's not according to the bylaws of Remnant Life Church. It's according to the Word of God. See, this is not the Church of Dave Dorado. This is the church that stands on the Word of God, but is always in love. It is always in love. So I want to encourage you this week. Every believer, according to what Paul says, we need to encourage and build one another up. Can you imagine what a demonstration that would be to the world if the church loved one another? I've heard it said that when you get hurt in a church or when you're struggling with things, churches are some of the few places that actually shoot their wounded. We're not as always interested in reconciliation. I've had that own experience in my life where I was serving on a church and the time came to end, and it was through some struggles that I was having, and I was just pretty well dismissed, and that was it. Shouldn't be that way. We need to love one another. When people leave this church, I make sure that I contact them just to say, how are you? I try to. I don't think I've missed anybody, but I try to. And just to let them know, man, we love you. The door's always open to you. Because Christ is supreme in this place. And see, that's my prayer for each of us. So, everything we do here as a church, the music, the fellowship time, the food, it's why we do that. Because fellowship is critical for the church body. You have to know the people that you are worshiping with. If you're ever going to call somebody and say, could you pray with me? Can you be a part of this? Can you help me move? Ooh, I've had that question, Dave, more times than I like to remember. But you can't do that with a stranger. But see, when you know each other, when you love each other, then it becomes something that is a natural part of the extension of the body of Christ. When you're giving, when you're tithing, which we all should be doing. That's not Dave Dorado's rule. That's what the Word of God says. You say, Pastor Dave, I can't afford to tithe. Well, I got a different look on that than that. I always think I can't afford not to tithe. There is no way I want to live my life in any way outside of the will of God for me. I've done that before. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. But when you tithe, when you're faithful to what God says, then the blessings of God, just like it says in Malachi, it says the storehouses of heaven will be open to you. That's why. But you know, giving goes beyond what you give to the church. Giving is also when you see a need, you meet the need. When you see a person hurting, you think, what can I do? What should I do? How should I bless this person? I try to do that whenever I go out to eat. I always try to bless the people that are waiting on us. I'm a big tipper. Now, I'm big for me, Mark. I don't leave like $100 down or anything, but I'm not carrying a lot of $100 bills around in my pocket. But, you know, it's a $15 meal. I'm leaving a $20 tip. Does this make me a wonderful person? No, but it's a personal conviction that Katarina and I have that we want to bless the people that are working so hard. Christians are some of the cheapest people on the face of the planet. You know, cities hate seeing Christian conferences come in. They hate it because they know they're not going to be making any money. I want to change that. I want people to see Katarina and me praying at our table for the food, blessing God, and then leaving a bunch of money for them. Christ needs to be supreme. I trust him. My finances belong to him. My health belongs to him. Does that mean it's always going to be perfect? I'm going to be like Moses at the end and be 120 years old with good eyesight and good hearing and nothing's changed? I can't wait to meet him. Dave, I picture him as like a cleanup hitter. I mean, I'm thinking he's going to be big, barrel-chested guy, big beard. It'll be awesome. No, he won't look like Charlton Heston, Karen, but that's okay. Yeah, the golden, the beautiful hair and all that kind of thing. Be confident in who you are, church. I think that's my message for you today. Be confident as a Christian to speak words of love and encouragement, because that's what we want to do here at Remnant. Take what's going on here to your place of work. Take it home with you. Take it everywhere you go. And then when you come back, you're ready just to say, God, recharge me. Recharge me. You go, wait a minute, Pastor Dave, recharge. Nobody does that. Jesus did. If it was okay for my Savior, it's okay for me. Jesus recharged, said he went away to pray to a quiet place. So that's what Remnant Life is. And I'm delighted to share it with you. I really am. I love you folks more than you know. Do anything for you. I hope you know that. And God's blessed me with an opportunity to be a part of many of your lives. And it is. It's an honor for me to be able to do that. So make yourself available to the people around you. Amen. Body of Christ, the physical demonstration of God's presence. Let's pray. Well, Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. And God, I thank you for the privilege we have to come here to be a part of this church body. Father, we don't want to exclude people. We don't want to isolate ourselves in any way. We're not God proclaiming we're perfect or we're better than anybody else. No, we are just sinners saved by grace who recognize we need to be grateful. We need to live our lives in a way that says this is what Jesus has done for me. God, give us opportunities, I pray, to do that. May our eyes and our ears be open to see the things that are happening around us. And in all of this, we give you all the glory and all the honor. It's in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray these things. Amen. Amen.